Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail?
This is an interesting date in history. It's also the birthday of Napoleon Bonaparte, who was born in Corsica. And he started out as a Republican, but he later became a dictator and crowned himself Emperor of France and then tried to conquer all of Western Europe and turn it into a kind of United States of Europe. But the French would have been the rulers, the leaders, and probably Paris would have been the capital if he had pulled it off. I think today we'll start off with a speech given by William Jennings Bryan, who was also a Democratic candidate for the Democratic nomination for president. He never got it. He was a populist in the true sense, progressive in the true sense, not one of these closet communists or Trotsky communists or what I call bourgeois communists. Fascinating man, and he was also the lawyer who believed in that there's no such thing as evolution, and he argued against evolution in the Stokes Monkey Trial in Tennessee back in, I think, 1925. And Clarence Darrow came down and argued to defend the Scopes, the teacher who was teaching evolution. And I think Jennings Bryan had a heart attack shortly thereafter. Anyway, here he is talking about the ideal republic. And this is something that we should think about. Is this a republic or is it a democracy or what?
I can conceive of a national destiny which meets the responsibilities of today and measures up to the possibilities of tomorrow. Behold a republic. Resting securely upon the mountain of eternal truth, a republic applying in practice and proclaiming to the world the self-evident propositions that all men are created equal, that they're endowed with inalienable rights, that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, and that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Behold a republic in which civil and religious liberty stimulate all to earnest endeavor, and in which the law restrains every hand uplifted for a neighbor's injury. a republic in which every citizen is a sovereign, but in which no one cares to wear a crown. Behold a republic standing erect while empires all around are bowed beneath the weight of their own armaments. A republic whose flag is love, while other flags are only fear. Behold a republic increasing in population, in wealth, in strength, and in influence, solving the problems of civilization and hastening the coming of a universal brotherhood. A republic which shakes thrones and dissolves aristocracies by its silent example and gives light and inspiration to those who sit in darkness. Behold a republic gradually but surely becoming the supreme moral factor in the world's progress and the accepted arbiter of the world's dispute. A republic whose history, like the path of the just, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
That was William Jennings Bryan. And later in this broadcast, we'll get into honor the memorial to Will Rogers, who died on this date in 1935, flying with Wiley Post, a great aviator. They were working on surveying a route from the United States to Soviet Union or Russia, and they crashed near Point Barrow, Alaska. I wonder if Sarah Palin pays tribute to Wiley Post and Will Rogers. That would be very interesting. Anyway, we'll get on with our birthdays today. As I said, it's appropriate. Napoleon, after he defeated the British at, and he was an expert in artillery, he was one of the three consuls, and later decided to get rid of them, and he was moving toward crowning himself Emperor of France, which he later did, and then he led France's armies on a series of great victories and then great defeat in Russia. And he ended up being first exiled to Elba. He escaped, had 100 days of reign. He was defeated again at Waterloo, and this time they couldn't execute him, so they sent him to the furthest island in the Atlantic that they could find, and that was St. Helena, where he died. If you ever get to Paris, I highly recommend you go to the Chapel of the Invalids, and his tomb is in the middle, and it's surrounded by his son, the emperor, the prince. He had a son by, the Austrian princess. And then there's Vauban, the great French military engineer, Marshal Foch, Lautry, the field marshal who defeated the Moroccans. And I think there's one other. I was there in the 70s, but it's something to see. And also the Invalids is kind of like the French Pentagon. Also on this day in 1875, Samuel Coleridge Taylor was born. Now he was half English and half, Bahamian. He was a great musician. He wrote a lot of beautiful music, and unfortunately didn't have time to go through the archives and libraries to play a piece, but he wrote probably his most famous cantata, was called Hiawatha's Wedding Feast, very romantic. And, of course, it's an example of what England is today when they allowed all these mixed ethnics to come into a 900 square mile piece of land with no landlocked borders. And of course, you have your blacks, you have your Indians, you have your Afghans, you have all these people, and this is one of the problems. It's a cauldron there, and they have to erect barriers and screen who's coming into place. This is one of the problems. Also on this day, Ethel Barrymore, the great Barrymore family actors and actress, and she was a great actress with a nice contralto voice, a kind of a grand dame. And one of my favorite movies is with John Barrymore, who played this wacko impresario, and not the front page, but we'll play a clip on when his birthday comes up. It's a riot. And then also on this day, another great Englishman, well, actually was Irish, he was born illegitimate. He learned Arabic, He went into the British Army and British service and tried to create Arabs for the Arabs. I recommend you see the movie Lawrence of Arabia starring Peter O'Toole. It's very accurate. Lawrence was, Thomas Edward Lawrence was a repressed homosexual. There's an episode that's very accurate in that film where he sodomized, first flogged and then sodomized by the Turkish colonel. Wasn't quite sure what he was, but he used him sexually. And then Lawrence wrote the Seven Pillars of Wisdom when he went through all of this conflicts within himself. After the war, he found him more of World War I. He failed to get Arab the lands for the Arabs, and the British and the French carved up the Middle East because there was oil. And we see the problems there today. Syria, the French got Syria and Lebanon, the British got the rest. Arabia and the other, Iran, Iraq, which they carved up. And we see that they laid the problems, created the problems then, which we are dealing with today. But T.E. Lawrence is just a fascinating character in history, very remarkable man. He died, ironically, not on the battlefield, but in a motorcycle crash. Also today, another famous person, she started out in the Office of Strategic Services, that was the forerunner of the CIA, Julia Child. She was born today, big woman, over 6 feet, I think, from California. And he probably saw her on the PBS series on cooking. And fascinating woman. Also, she probably worked with someone who is connected to the Steve Neri Juan Pifferia case, Steve Neri, the U.S. Navy sailor. Judge Horton was the niece. She worked in OSS in World War II. Then she went to law school. But her uncle was Edward Everett Horton, who was gay and played the fop in the Fred Astaire movies with Ginger Rogers. And I don't think he played a movie with Adele. But Fred Astaire, actually, the name is actually Austerlitz, but they anglicized it to Astaire. And his older sister, Adele, married Lord Cavendish, whose father was assassinated by Hallinan's grandfather. Hallinan, the district attorney of San Francisco, who illegally prosecuted Stephen Neri, U.S. Navy sailor. We'll get into that another day, but it's such a long, fascinating story. I would recommend you get a hold of the book, What's the Matter with California, by Jack Cashel. Part of the story is in there. It's all very accurate. Go to our website, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. Also, you can look up Stephen, Steven Neri on the web. That is, take you about 4 hours to go through all of the stuff that's up there, so you can pick and choose. Among the other birthdays today, we had... who do we have here? Oh, forgot that one. And then in 1935, this is the death. So we had Wiley Post and Will Rogers died in that airplane crash in Alaska near Point Barrow. Princess Anne. She was born in 1950, and she would marry Captain Mark Phillips. She's another divorcee. She's the younger sister of Prince Charles, who is the heir to the throne when Elizabeth either abdicates or dies. But I think he may be bypassed, or he may step aside for his son, Prince William. I don't think, I hear William doesn't want it, nor does his younger brother, Harry, who probably belongs in Shakespeare's play about Falstaff. Among the other deaths today, another famous Scotch-English tale, Macbeth, was slain today by the son of King Duncan, and that's an accurate story about the Scotch and the horrible things that go on the moors up there. And of course, it's, Macbeth is a great Shakespeare play. It's also an opera by Verdi. Also, more English stuff today. In 1620, the Mayflower ship left Southampton, New England, with 105 people on it, and of course, a lot of the critics, in fact, there's a famous song by Cole Porter that instead of the Pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock, Plymouth Rock should have landed on them, considering all the hypocrisy and the Puritanism in the daylight and the hypocrisy at night, the bundling and all that that went on with this group of people. Also, in 1863, the Confederates built the submarine called Sia Hunley, H-U-N-L-E-Y. It was one of the first submarines, or the first submarine built that worked, so they claim, and it was it sunk either because a mechanical failure or whatever, and it's been raised, and they're making a memorial out of it. But it arrived in Charleston, South Carolina, during the Civil War on this date. Among the other events today, we have the Jesuits was founded. Now, the Society of Jesus is what the original name was. It was founded by a Spanish soldier, Ignatius Loyola, and you see a lot of colleges around the United States or universities and law school named Loyola, and they're usually run by the Jesuits. Now, the Jesuits are known in the Catholic Church as the shock troops of the Roman Catholic Church. The head of the Jesuit order, the superior general, I think that's what they call him, is known as the Black Pope because of all of the influence that this religious order has. There are other religious orders in the Roman Catholic Church, such as the Benedictines, the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Marinos, and quite a few. I can't keep up with them, even though I'm Catholic. On the state also, they were the first religious order to go out and try to proselytize and convert people in foreign lands, and they arrived in Japan at, where the heck is that? Yamo, I forgot the place, but anyway, near Honshu. And of course, there was a reaction against the quote foreign priest, and there was horrible torturers. The shoguns and the samurais and their minions decided to persecute the Japanese who had become Catholics, and they imprisoned the priests, and I don't know how many they may have killed, but there are heroes or saints in, I think, Nagasaki, which was probably the most Catholic place that became most Catholic when the Roman Catholic priests, the Jesuits, came there to do their proselytizing and converting the Japanese from Shintoism to Roman Catholicism. And it wasn't until Commodore Perry arrived in the early 18th century to open up Japan for trade. There had been limited trade with the Portuguese, and there's a couple of, shogun was Richard Chamberlain, who starred in this, and John Rice Davies, about how the Portuguese would land maybe a ship. They were allowed a ship every couple of months, I guess, to land in Japan and to trade, but it was extremely limited and very controlled, and they didn't get access to all of Japan, and Richard Chamberlain played shogun. That's another movie. James Clavell is the author of that. Among the other things today, the United States and Russia severed diplomatic relations after the Tsar was his family were assassinated or executed, depends how you look at it, which side of the rifles or the guns, or which side of the wall. Before that, also, the Panama Canal opened in 1914. Teddy Roosevelt, in effect, built it, but he wasn't president when it was finished, and it came in under cost, surprisingly. And, of course, poor blacks from the Caribbean worked on the Panama Canal, and they were paid less rates. They were treated horribly and were deported after canal was finished. Today we have he says he's a journalist, he's a writer, Juan Williams. His family, he's from Panama, and although he doesn't talk about it, and he went to Haverford College, I think, here in the States, and he is a commentator or a political mouthpiece. He used to be on NPR, PBS, and he's now working for Fox. So, and he just wrote another book. I don't know what it's like because I haven't seen it nor read it. Also on this date, it's called the date cursed by stars. Lord Mountbatten, who was also related to the Queen, was also part of that German family, the Battenbergs, He was named Viceroy of England, of India, and him and his wife, Edwina, went over there and wowed Nehru and tried to wow the Jinnah, who Brigadier Ingall I knew very well, and we'll get into that another day. Gino did not want the Muslims to be included in the new India. He wanted a separate country called Pakistan. And even though they negotiated, and they brought out a British civil servant who knew nothing about the subcontinent, as it's called, and they didn't get this thing did not work out. And so there was horrible fighting. People, Hindus, moved from what was to become Pakistan into India. There was all kinds of atrocities, castration, mutilation, rape, murder. It was just horrible. And then there were Muslims who were leaving India for Pakistan. It was just a horrible time. And Gandhi tried to, preach nonviolence. And there's a famous movie, 9 Hours to Rama, which Horst Buchel plays the assassin. It's very interesting. Gandhi was the people who plotted his assassination were homosexuals, and we'll get into that another day. It's quite interesting. But anyway, the prophets or whatever, when Mountbatten decided August 15, 1947 would be the day that India became independent, and the British they would just be part of the British Commonwealth. It was a day cursed by stars, and that's what happened. Horrible atrocities, and one of the biggest forcible mass migrations in history occurred. Okay, and now we'll play Will Rogers to memorialize him. He said some interesting things are very accurate about economics, and we're going to play them now. Oops, nope. I'm fine. I still have trouble with this new studio system, but... these interviews are worth audio interview. Will Rogers talking about unemployment, which is very relevant today. This was done during the 30s as part of our archives in Western Public Radio and KLW and Rosilla Carson Archives. So this is Will Rogers talking about unemployment.
We read in the papers every day, and they get us all excited over to one or a dozen different problems that's supposed to be before this country. There's not really but one problem before the whole country at this time. It's not the balancing of Mr. Mellon's budget. That's his worry. That ain't ours. And it's not the League of Nations that we read so much about. Or it's not the silver question. The only problem that confronts this country today is at least 7 million people are out of work. That's our only problem. There is no other one before us at all. It's to see that every man that wants to, able to work, is allowed to find a place to go to work, and also to arrange some way of getting a more equal distribution of the wealth in country. Now, it's prohibition. We hear a lot about that. Well, that's nothing to compare to your neighbor's children that are hungry. It's food. It ain't drink that we're worried about today. Here a few years ago, we were so afraid that the poor people were liable to take a drink that now we've fixed so they can't even get something to eat. So here we are in a country with more wheat and more corn, more money in the bank, more cotton, more everything in the world. There's not a product that you can name that we haven't got more of it than any country ever had in the face of the earth. And yet we've got people starving. We'll hold the distinction of being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile. The potter's field are lined with granaries full of grain. Now, if there ain't something cockeyed in an arrangement like that, then this microphone here in front of me is, well, it's a cuspidor, that's all. Now, I think that perhaps they'll arrange it. I think some our big men will perhaps fix some way of fixing a different distribution of things. If they don't, they're certainly not big men and won't be with us long. That's one thing.
That was where I just talked about unemployment during the Depression, and it's as apropos his remarks then are as apropos and even more so today. Here he is, as part of my memorial to him, talking about he's castigating the bankers.
Loan shark and interest hound. I have addressed every form of organized graft in the United States, excepting Congress. So it's naturally a pleasure to me to appear before the biggest. You are, without a doubt, the most disgustingly rich audience I ever talked to, with the possible exception of the Bootleggers Union, Local Number 1, combined with the enforcement officers. Now, I understand you hold this convention every year to announce what the annual GIP will be. I have often wondered where the depositors hold that convention. I had an account in the bank once, and the banker, he asked me to withdraw it. Said I used up more red ink than the account was worth. I see where your wife come with you. You notice I say come, not were brought. I see where your convention was opened by a prayer. You had to send outside your ranks to get somebody that knew how to pray. You should have had one creditor there. He'd have shown you how to pray. I noticed in the prayer the clergyman announced to the Almighty that the bankers were here. Well, it wasn't exactly an announcement. It was more in the nature of a warning. He didn't tell the devil that he figured he knew where you all were all the time anyhow. I see by your speeches that you are very optimistic of the business conditions of the coming year. Boy, I don't blame you. If I had your dough, I'd be optimistic too. Will you please tell me what you all do with the vice president the bank has? I guess that's to get anybody more discouraged before you can see the main guy. Well, the United States is the biggest business institution in the world. They've only got one vice president. Nobody's ever found anything for him to do. I've met most of you as I come out of the stage door of the Follies every night. I want to tell you that any of you that are capitalized at under $1 million needn't hang around there. Our girls may not know their Latin and Greek, but they certainly know their Dun and Bradstreet. You have a wonderful organization. I understand you have 10,000 here, and with what you have in the various federal prisons, brings your membership up to around 30,000. So goodbye, paupers. You're the finest bunch of Shylocks that ever foreclosed a mortgage on a widow's home.
Well, we'll be signing off in just a minute. We'll play what's still appropriate, our usual theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? Jack Riley the gun.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Well, good night, folks. We'll be back Wednesday. This is Peter Paul Rizzola. Thank you for listening. This will stay up to be downloaded. I think you can download it on iPods. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. Good night.